Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 335 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to be talking about utilising the spaces outside of our garden's edges, outside of our own personal space that we might manage. We're going to talk about how we can increase the amount of things that we have access to, the amount of resources that we can use by just thinking a little bit beyond our garden boundaries. Now, as you will all know, I've recently moved from a large homestead, at least in UK terms, with a huge 8-acre garden, down into a much more standard urban homesteading environment where I just have a regular sized garden. So my attention is very much turned in that direction. Now, if you are a regular listener to the show, you might be thinking, well, it's Wednesday. Where's my interview? We are going to be back with interviews starting next Wednesday. As you all know, it's been a hectic time for me. I will try and stop mentioning my house move every podcast, I promise. But it is a huge part of what we're doing at the moment, and where my head is and all the things that we're thinking are based around that. So it will be a subject that comes up. And with that in mind, I mean, this episode is obviously that kind of episode. We're talking about using the sort of spaces in ways that I hadn't really necessarily thought about too much. For some of them, and for some of them, I have been doing forever. So we're going to talk about all sorts of resource collection, resource harvesting. We're going to talk about foraging. We're going to talk about fish and wild game and all those kinds of things. So that's what today's episode is going to be about, because it's very, very easy to get bogged down into how can I make this space as productive as possible? And that's a really important thought process to have. And it's a really important way to think, and thinking about how you're going to manage your garden, your space, however you're going to. And that, while that is, as I said, really important, sometimes we can treat it as if it is everything, when there is so much more out there, wherever you live, that we can include in our resource collection systems, in our way of thinking about how we're going to holistically manage our homestead as a whole. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I think in the coming months, I'm in the middle of a DIY series, which I think I will wrap up in the next few weeks. And then I think our next series, our Monday series, is going to be focused on using a small space, using, you know, making a homestead out of a very, very small space, whatever you might have, whether it's an apartment or a flat, or whether it's a house with a small garden. I recently released a video on YouTube, actually, talking about what makes a homestead, and it's not the space, it's what you do with it. It's a way of living. It's a thought of wanting to reduce that gap between your production and your consumption, and doing everything within your power to move in that direction, whatever that might look like. It doesn't have to be all in the garden. It really, really doesn't. So with that said, let's talk about some of the ways that we can utilize what's around us and utilize our spaces beyond our gardens. And the first thing to say is that it's really, really important, I think, just to familiarize yourself with that space. It's really, really easy sometimes, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone else, of falling into a trap, or at least I used to be very guilty of this, but falling into a trap of your home is where you live, and then your work is where you work, and you kind of travel from one to the other, and you don't ever really explore the areas around either. Well, that's something I'm going to strongly recommend, is just spend some time exploring the areas around you. If you live in the UK, we have Ordnance Survey maps. I'm not sure what the equivalents are around the world, but I'm sure that you will have a map available to you with really good detail that will show you all the local footpaths around you and all the places you're allowed to go and wander and take a look. And even if you live in a super urban environment, even if you live in a city centre, there are still opportunities to do most, if not all, of these things by just walking around outside your door. For example, Cherry trees are really commonly planted as part of urban planning and urban development. Cherry trees are one of those trees that you might see alongside a main road through a city centre. So there are foraging opportunities and opportunities to do almost all of these things, regardless of where you live. So we're going to talk first of all about just some of the resources that are available out there for us to collect. And we'll start talking about things like basketry resources. If you wanted to make your own basket, willow and hazel, these are plants that grow everywhere and they grow in all environments. But if you've got any wild space around you, you're going to be able to find things that you can make your own baskets out of. Perhaps you're considering getting into beekeeping. You can make your own skeps out of foraged ingredients. And, you know, you really shouldn't overlook this as something you can do to really sort of add to your homestead, add to your homesteading and add some skills to what you're doing. Perhaps you've never ever tried to make a basket. Well, this is a great little project that will really tune you into the local environment. Go out there and find some willow or some hazel that you can take some whips from and start making your own baskets. And you might find if someone has a hazel hedge, they might come and cut it every year and you can offer to do that for them in return for taking the little offcuts for your home making. You can also, obviously at Christmas time, this expands even more because then we can start making wreaths for our doors or even to sell at the side of the road if you were that way inclined. But right through the year there are opportunities for us to harvest these natural resources for making things like garden canes. Again, back at Christmas time, mistletoe is another thing that grows wild, loads and loads of places. So these are all things that perhaps you'd be buying. If you're buying something to support your pea plants, if you're buying bamboo from the garden centre, then think about how else you might be able to source these products. If you're lucky enough to have a woodland near you, you know, that could be even better. And not all woodlands are public spaces, but by trying to find the landowner and just getting in touch with them, you might be surprised how frequently they are very, very amenable to have someone offer to do a little bit of land management for them. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the episode. So there's lots out there already, and we haven't even talked about most of the areas I want to talk about. So next up, I want to talk about neighbours' gardens. Well, that might seem a bit odd to you, talking about what's in your neighbours' gardens, but it needn't be. Our neighbour has recently planted, since we've been gone and since we've moved back, a magnolia tree. And that magnolia tree is going to grow fairly big, and it's going to pop over our fence and pop over the fence out onto the road at the back. And magnolia is another plant that we can harvest the leaves and the leaf flower buds from. When I say the leaves, sorry, I mean the petals, the flower leaves and the flower buds. You can harvest them as a replacement for ginger, which is something I'm very excited to have on my doorstep. And also you may well see neighbours that have fruit trees, and it's really, really commonplace, at least here in the UK, to drive around in the autumn and see someone's lawn just littered with apples that are being eaten by wasps and rotting. And I have to say, in my experience, 9 times out of 10, if you just knock on the door and say hello, the owners of said apple tree are more than happy. They are delighted to have someone offer to come and collect those apples up before they start rotting and invite all the wasps into their garden. So these are all resources we can have access to without needing the space to grow them ourselves. Another plant that you will often see in neighbours' gardens is bamboo. Now, bamboo has a habit of really getting away from you. It can be super invasive depending on what type of bamboo is planted. And offering to manage someone's bamboo is an offer that is frequently going to be accepted. And of course, if you go in, you can effectively coppice the bamboo, helping your neighbour by keeping it in check. And from your point of view, harvesting a really useful garden resource. Bamboo is something that is really useful for making all sorts of garden structures and things for climbing plants to grow up and our trellises for our tomatoes or whatever it might be. So bamboo is something you will frequently see in neighbours' gardens, and just don't be scared to knock on the door and just say, I notice you've got some bamboo there. But obviously you need to pick your opportunities, because if someone has a beautifully manicured garden, or perhaps they have a gardener that comes in twice a week and they keep the space really, really beautiful, and they have a architectural bamboo sculptured bush. These aren't the people who are going to be quite as receptive to someone coming in and coppicing it for them. But someone who's got a slightly more unruly garden, a garden that's got away from them a bit, usually they're only more than happy to have a conversation about this kind of thing. So pick your opportunities, but yeah, definitely give it a go, because what have you got to lose? You know, the worst thing that's going to happen is they'll say no thank you. Next up is just generally foraging. And again, this ties in with the very first thing I said off the top at the episode beginning, is just getting to know your natural space, going out there and foraging. And this counts whether you live in a really urban space or in the middle of nowhere. There are things out there growing that you can harvest for your garden. Or for your kitchen, rather. And we went out at the weekend for, I go out every weekend pretty much from now through till October, November, leading foraging courses. And every single time from now right through till the winter, we're going to be looking at and identifying at the very least 15 species of plants that are genuine plants I would bring home and use in the garden. We've got mushrooms that fall into this category as well, of course. So by going out and foraging, we're talking at this time of year, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, in the spring, we're talking predominantly about salads. There's a few wild vegetables. One of the best wild vegetables, common hogweed, which grows absolutely everywhere. Perhaps not in city and town centres, but anywhere outside a town centre and city centre, you're going to be able to find common hogweed. That's growing absolutely everywhere. And it's a fantastic wild vegetable. Lots and lots of salads, a few spices like woodavens, which is also known as clove root, which you can use as a direct replacement for cloves. And then later in the year, as we move more into the summer and autumn, then we start talking about more of our mushroom species, followed by nuts and fruits. We're already seeing the buds of young raspberry, wild raspberry. Blackberries are going to be on their way before too long. And if you look up, we've got apples, pears, all of these things are available growing wild. Of course, these are going to vary from climate to climate and from location to location. But these things are out there, and they, if they're not forming at all a part of your diet, a part of your kitchen usage, then that's something you can really, really dive into, and you can spend quite a long time learning your local area and learning what's around you, because we're all going to have different things. And you might be surprised, some of these things, they're really useful bartering tools as well. People love to have wild garlic, but a lot of people don't think to go and pick it themselves. But it's something you can use to trade for other things. And it also is a lovely thing to talk about around the dinner table if you've got guests over and you can say, oh yeah, that I foraged and that I foraged. And people do genuinely really love it and get into it, and they'll want to know more. Of course, another thing while we're talking about foraging is just the general harvesting of other things out there, like birch bark, which you can use to make homemade fire lighters rather than buying them. We could be tapping trees, not at this time of year, of course, but by getting to know your environment at this time of year, you're going to be well placed to know where you can go and tap some trees for sap in the winter time or late winter. And of course, firewood is something that a lot of us overlook. A lot of us who are inclined to produce as much of our consumption needs as we can, we might have a wood burner, excuse me, or an open fire, and we might be buying in all of our firewood. So by, again, coming back to that idea of managing a different space, it's something I said we'd come back to. A woodland that a farmer has, now at least here in the UK I'm talking about, I'm not sure about how it works around the world, but quite often woodlands on a farmland area, if a farmer owns several hundred acres and dedicates 20 acres or so to a woodland, chances are that woodland is used predominantly, or at least in part, due to the subsidies the farmer will get for leaving it as woodland. And they might also use it for some subsidiary income. For instance, they might have a pheasant shoot there or whatever it might be. And it's not really managed as a woodland. And they are often very, very happy to have a conversation about someone else managing that space for them, whether that's harvesting firewood or just keeping the paths clear, whatever it might be. So, you know, it's a conversation you can definitely have. And again, this can expand out to other areas as well. Any piece of waste ground or just really unloved areas you see, if you can find out who owns it, you might get the opportunity to manage it for free. And of course, managing someone else's land could be as beneficial as you've got yourself a free allotment or whatever it might be. So these are all conversations that are definitely, definitely worth having. Something else that could come under foraging, but generally is considered its own thing, is the idea of fish and wild game. Now, I definitely do a lot of seashore foraging, particularly in the winter, for shellfish and seaweed and things like that. But beyond that, there's the idea of actually fishing. You can fish the coast, but you can also fish rivers. Now, it's going to very much depend on where you live. In the United States of America, for example, in the rivers around you, you own that wildlife. I think it's a fantastic system you have for wildlife management out in the States. And you own all of that wildlife. All the fish and game belongs to the masses. And that doesn't mean it's not regulated and you may well need permits, etc. But you have access to that resource. And I think that's fantastic. Here in the UK, it's a little bit less, well, I don't know what the word is, but it's a little bit less easy to access for the regular person who doesn't own a lot of land. But that doesn't mean it's impossible. So things like rabbits, they're considered a pest by farmers. And if you're willing to go in and do some pest control, you can go and harvest them yourself. You can get in touch with local farmers who hold pheasant shoots, because pheasant shoots generally are used as a sport. They're not used as a way of harvesting. So 9 times out of 10, at the end of a pheasant shoot, the pheasants are available either free or very, very cheap, like almost free. So that's, again, something else you can consider trying to find out how you can get access to. And when it comes to fishing, again, it's going to depend on the regulations where you are, but we do all have access to some kind of fishing, and it's less restrictive on the coast. On the coast, you don't even need a rod license if you're fishing from the shore, so you can consider getting yourself your first ever beach caster, going out for some mackerel or some cod, which you can catch from the shore, or whatever else you might be fishing for around our shorelines. But these are all just other opportunities for us to be using spaces beyond the space that we own and control to create new lines of resources for us to harvest. There's something else I wanted to talk about as well, and this is particularly useful in sort of waste ground areas, in areas that aren't currently being used that well, at least as you might see it, and that's the idea of guerrilla gardening. Now, I have done an episode on guerrilla gardening, which I think is probably worth a listen if you're considering this kind of thing, but we're going to be doing a little bit of guerrilla gardening going forwards, and one of the plants I'm really excited to try is asparagus, because I think it's such an unobtrusive plant, and the seeds are very, very cheap. The downside with asparagus, as we all know, is it can take 3 or 4 years for the plant to establish, or even longer. And the sort of places I'm thinking of introducing it, it will probably be longer, because it's going to have quite a lot of competition. So I'm going for a scattergun approach. I'm going to get loads of seeds, and I'm basically going to just sow them everywhere I can think of. And if I sow 100 asparagus patches, then maybe in 5 years' time, one or two of them will be fertile and somewhere I can go and harvest every year. That's my thinking. But also, you know, fruit trees. You can just plant some fruit seeds, some apple pips or whatever, anywhere you think would be a good place for you to be going and harvesting fruit later. And of course, this is a really long game idea, but it doesn't have to be some more fast growing things like grapevines or kiwi vines. These are all things that you can plant in places that you think just, you know, where they're not even going to be noticed. That's the best idea. You don't want to be planting these things somewhere they're going to be obtrusive. You certainly don't want to be planting invasive species if you're doing guerrilla gardening. You want to give a little bit of thought and care to what you're planting and where, but you can go and plant some things out in wild spaces that other people, well, you want to plant things that aren't going to be harvested by other people before they're old enough to be established, if you know what I mean. You don't want anything, for instance, asparagus. If you planted some right on the edge of an allotment where everyone's going to know what it is, it's probably not going to have much of a chance to establish itself. But somewhere where not many people go, somewhere where it's probably just going to be walked past without people noticing, those are the places you want to go for. So those are my ideas for utilising what's around you, for utilising the space beyond your garden. And hopefully you've found something useful in there that you can take on yourself. But the biggest takeaway, I think, is to just get out there and spend some time in that space. Spend some time in the space that isn't within your own property boundary, because there is an abundance out there in nature that we can tap into just by being aligned with it, by spending some time in it, getting to know what's out there. And, you know, this list is one that I've made. I've made it off the top of my head, and I've done it based on my experience. And it's the experience that really matters. It's the footsteps that you take out there in these spaces that are going to give you your own ideas of what you can use in your space. Everybody is in a really different space, whether you live in a different part of the world, a different climate, or even if you just live in a, you know, somewhere a few miles from me, the things that you're going to find and have access to are going to be completely different. Just as I speak, I know there's a footpath that runs right through a commercial orchard, and you can harvest the windfall apples there. And not everyone's going to have access to that, but and you do have to pay for them, but they're incredibly cheap. You know, much, much, much cheaper than you're going to find in a supermarket. So, you know, where you are is going to present its own opportunities. And the only way to really find out what they are is to go and spend the time out in that space. So get on and do it. Please, please do yourself the favour of getting to know your own environment, because it will pay you back dividends. Right, that's it for today, guys. We'll be giving away the Cheap Lazy Gardener to a patron on Friday. If you want to be included in that draw, just go to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub, and there'll be another giveaway next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to help the show, if you want to help the show grow, please, please, please consider just telling someone about it, telling one other person about the show, telling someone, whether it's online, on your Facebook page or whatever it might be, about the show. And that's the best way to help this audience grow. Now we're into May. We're going to do our annual listener drive. So every episode I'm going to be reminding you all, please do try and find one other person to listen to the show. And, you know, whether that's your mum, your aunt, your son, your best friend at school, whatever it might be, wherever you are, try and share the show. I really, really appreciate it. And I'll speak to you all on Friday. Thank you. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/self-sufficient hub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.